This is only the second time that I've been in his company, but already I understand why he's been able to have such a successful run as the director of stewards for this great diocese in Pittsburgh under the direction of our beloved Bishop David Zubik. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome in studio this morning Dr. Patrick Joyce, the director of stewards for our Catholic diocese. Good morning, sir. Great to have you here.
Rob, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you.
Listen, we got lots of ground to cover, and we're going to be talking a lot about the church and the campaign and just all the exciting things that are happening. But let's just talk about you a little bit. And obviously, you've been involved in the business of Catholic education your entire life, not just what you do now, but as a student all the way through Duquesne University. So tell us about Dr. Patrick Joyce.
I came here to talk about a lot of other things. But
we got to do this, though, to start the show. So
bless your heart. I had a wonderful career of advancing Catholic higher education, working at colleges and universities, building science buildings, helping people to see how they can make a difference in the lives of the students we're entrusted to take care of. Almost 40 years in that business. And one day I got a phone call from a classmate, a Duquesne University classmate, the class of 71, Bishop David Zubik, and we had a chance to talk about stewardship. What does that mean? And what does that mean to the church? What does it mean to every one of our faithful? It has to do with not at all about money, but it has everything to do with mission. The conversation that we had inspired me. He wrote a first pastoral letter called The Church Alive. I know you're getting off Pat Joyce, aren't you?
That's okay. Go ahead.
He wrote this first pastoral letter to the people of the Church Alive,
mm-hmm.
and it reached me. And the second one was even more moving to me. It was called The Church Sharing. It was during 2008 when the economy in the country was in a tank, and he talked to people about Catholics sharing in the times of need. He talked about what happened in the Great Depression. Anyway, the man has a vision it's not about money at all, but it's about each of us changing the way we deal with each other and advance the church. And I was excited about that, and he invited me to join his team, and I was thrilled and honored.
That happened in 2009, but we've got to talk about your beloved wife, Rita, very quickly, because your mother-in-law is listening.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about your lovely wife, and obviously with the Duquesne connection, did you meet her there?
Oh, I did. Yeah, we met actually running against each other for student government, and we actually were fortunate to be elected together as senators in the arts and sciences, and we became dear friends. And when we were juniors, Duquesne had a major financial crisis, and we as students were able to play a role in helping to keep the university alive, and now it's one of the most beautiful universities in the country, doing very well. Reed and I served together on that. In fact, Father Henry McAnulty, the president, once told me as we were walking late one night down Academic Walk, he said, "I think someday you and Rita might be married." I said, "Oh, Father, come." This year, with Bishop Zubik, we were on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land in October, and we exchanged our 40th anniversary wedding vows at the chapel at Cana. And it was such a thrill, I just get goosebumps when I think about it.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. But from Carlo to Duquesne to Willing Jesuit, just your thoughts on the state of the college aspect of Catholic education. Pretty strong right now?
Extraordinary. The true gifts to the church are, you know, when students go to college, it's often when they lose their faith. They have a chance to challenge what they were given as a child, and they do challenge it, and then unless they get some reinforcement at the college level, they can tend to lose that faith. My faith was deeply enriched at Duquesne under the chaplain there at the time in campus ministry, and I believe very strongly in that. But the Catholic universities and colleges are doing well at changing lives, making a difference for the church and the country.
The Church Alive. Dr. Patrick Joyce will continue on the Rob Pratt Show in minutes. Stay tuned. All right, Dr. Patrick Joyce in studio. He is the director of stewards for the Pittsburgh Catholic Diocese. We're going to talk about the Church Alive campaign. But before we do that, back to education, Catholic education. My middle son at Quigley Catholic in Baden, doing a great job as a freshman, just made the honor roll. Congratulations, son. And my daughter is in seventh grade at St. John the Baptist in Monaca. Don't forget that winter carnival underway this week. Member of the basketball team. You know, I marvel when I read these scores about all of these Catholic schools and how well they're doing. And, you know, this old thing of recruiting always comes up. But I say, look, it's been happening in public schools. Hey, there's a reason some of those steel communities had such great basketball teams many, many years ago. But I don't really believe it's so much the recruiting. I think it's the ability for these young girls, as my daughter, I have seen it evidence. She's been playing with the same kids since she was in fourth grade. And what happens is they, and here's our word of the day, matriculate to high school. They come from those little elementary schools and they end up on, as Quigley Catholic, their girls team having a great year this year, and I went through the list of boys and girls teams. What do you think it is about why there's such success in athletics? Is it the discipline? Is it I don't know what it is. It's in the drinking water. I don't know. But these kids just seem to have a lot of success on the athletic field when they get to Catholic high school. Why is that, do you think?
Oh, when I worked at Carlo University for a number of years, I always appreciated the women athletes. They are, you mentioned it, discipline, but it also has to do with a sense of team, a sense of sharing that we are better than me is how athletes tend to play with it. And so I think that Catholic education looks at the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, and it helps people develop to their full potential. That's really the challenge of a Catholic school, and it's the challenge of the church, actually. That's really the dream of the bishop, to make us more alive in our faith and to do the best we can with the gifts that God has given us. That's the exciting part about this campaign for the Church Alive, because the bishop really has a dream. He keeps talking around the diocese. It's not about this building or that program, but it's about all of us giving the best we can back to the Lord for what we've been given. You know, the giver of all good gifts is everything that we have comes from the giver mm-hmm. of all good gifts. The bottom line is that this campaign for the Church Alive is a historic opportunity in every one of our 200 parishes. And what I love, Rob, I wanted to tell you, in fact, when we first met, I was telling you, the most exciting thing is when you see these, what I call doubting Thomases, who think that there's no way in God's green earth that we could raise extra money than what we're
doing. I mean, the dollar figure is astronomical, $125 million over the next 5 years, 200 parishes, Allegheny, Beaver, Butler, Green, Lawrence, and Washington. But all things are possible with faith. And have seen, listen, I just mentioned to you moments ago, this is just an example how things can change. I have somehow, some way ended up back at the parish that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And I was there with my children who were much smaller than Robbie and Eva years ago in the summertime for their 4:30 Mass, and the pews were pretty much empty. Well, in a short period of time, 5 years later, I have found my way back in that parish, Father Tom Cradle from New Brighton, very well known in the diocese. It's standing room only sometimes with a fresh coat of paint. The church is sparkling. It's alive. As I told you moments ago off the air, it's almost like it's the Wayback Machine, 1965 all over again. That's just a small example. And little things do make big differences. And I have all the faith in the world that our bishop and all of you that are working on this Church Alive campaign will get this done.
Let me tell you a story. It's called The Bishop and the Buddhist. Bishop tells this story on himself, but it's a wonderful example of why we're doing what we're doing right now. But he was on a plane, and they were waiting to take off, and it was a long wait. And he pulled out his rosaries, and he started saying his rosaries. Well, the guy next to him, you usually sit next to somebody who's either overweight or too much Gabby.
Right.
Right? Well, the guy gave him some peace and some slack and just, you know, sat there quietly listening while the bishop said his rosary in private. When the bishop finished, the guy turned to him and said, with a smile, "You don't fly much, do you?" And the bishop laughed and said, "Well, no, it has nothing to do with it. You know," he thought that he was nervous. He said, "No, I pray before every major journey." And he said, "You obviously know what the rosary is. You must be a Catholic." And the man said, "Oh, I used to be a Catholic." And he said, well, Bishop said, why did you used to be a Catholic? And the man said, well, I don't find anybody really excited about their faith in the Catholic Church. And that started this whole process, what we're talking about right now.
Really?
The bishop talked to this man who's now a Buddhist and talked about why the faith as a Catholic and as a Christian is so important to our bishop. But he came back and he challenged all of us in the pulpit at the cathedral when he was installed as our bishop. Am I alive in my faith? Are you alive in your faith? Are we together alive in our faith? And that was the theme that has brought us to this point of building the church alive.
We've got a lot to talk about. We'll talk about this campaign in the next two segments that was launched in 2012 by Bishop Zubik. And you will be amazed to see how far they have come. And yes, a mountain to still climb. But look, once you understand the process, you too will be a part of this this journey that will really ascend our church to another level for generations to come. We'll be right back with Dr. Patrick Joyce in just a couple of minutes on the Rob Pratchett. The Church Alive campaign will continue to be our focus, and you'll be amazed on how well this money is being raised from all aspects and all walks of life. That's next when we get back with the Director of Stewards from the Pittsburgh Catholic Diocese, Dr. Patrick Joyce. He's in studio with us today on the Rob Pratt Show, 6:30. Barbara Boylan now with your news. Good morning. All right, back in studio, Dr. Patrick Joyce is here. He is from our wonderful Catholic Diocese. He's the Director of Stewards. Now, before we get into all of this stuff, the Church's Alive campaign, what is the Director of Stewards? What does that mean for
Actually,
someone just
the word
tuning
is
in?
Stewardship. Stewardship means to be responsible for gifts that have been placed in your trust and to do something with them. The talent, the parable in the Bible of the Lord giving individuals certain talents and having them come back and be responsible for them. So stewardship is Bishop Zubik's really way of talking to people about using our gifts of the time we have on the face of this earth, the talents that we have in your gift of your ability to speak on the radio as you are so eloquent. And that's a talent, and you share it so wisely with the church right now, and also our treasure. And so literally it's a teaching process of sharing with people. It's not about chasing money, but it's about challenging each one of us to do something good and effective and worthwhile for the church today and the church that follows in our footsteps.
We talked a little bit in the first part of the broadcast this morning about the goal, but it comes down to the money, and it's being raised in many different ways. And a couple of names that I'm very familiar with, and whenever there's a, no pun intended, window of opportunity, they definitely make it happen. The Schmutzers, Maggie and John, let's talk about what they have done for our church. This is an amazing story, and it's the first time that I've heard it. Go ahead.
Well, this is just an example. We have 200 parishes, and the bishop said, we're going to start this in phases, tracks. So he asked for volunteers, and we had, out of 200 parishes, we had 54 parishes volunteer to go first as an initial track. Oh, you'd call them our guinea pigs, but they were testing this campaign plan that was developed by a group of people, CCS, that we brought in to help guide us to advise us. Well, John and Maggie are very active members of St. Elizabeth of Hungary Parish, and St. Elizabeth, Father Dale Donino, volunteered to go first, and so they were one of the first 11 parishes representing the entire diocese, and they were anticipating a 75th anniversary of their parish, the founding of their parish. And so what they did was they volunteered to go first, and their campaign was to raise some money to renovate the whole parish, the whole church. John and Maggie were on the major gift phase, and they were beautiful fundraisers with joy, with sincerity, with a sense of obligation, a sense of responsibility, and they went out to raise about $3.5 million. They raised more than that, $3.6 million. Father Danino was thrilled. This campaign plan worked. St. Elizabeth of Hungary was just one of 11 in the initial parish phase, and each one of those parishes went way over the top of their goal. And we picked those parishes out of the 54 volunteers. We picked the 11, not because they were the most successful financially, but because they represented the entire diocese in terms of its demography and geography for every one of the counties, six counties, large and small, rich and poor, urban, suburban, rural. And so we wanted to say, if these 11 can work this campaign for the Church Alive, then every one of us in the diocese can make it happen. And St. Elizabeth was just one of them. The I could tell you a whole bunch of stories.
And, you know, we will at times throw dollar amounts out, but it really isn't the dollar amount. It's the gift. And
perfect.
And let's talk about the gift coming from all walks of life.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, Bishop Zuber constantly says to us, remember, it's about sacrifices from everybody. Equal sacrifices, not equal gifts, not equal dollars. So if a poor widow in Greene County sacrifices and gives $100 a year for 5 years or less, that's a sacrifice. That's a beautiful gift. That's worthy of great gratitude. If somebody gives $100,000, which is a great gift to the church, but they are blessed by God with resources where they could give $1 million, we're grateful for the gift, really, but it isn't a sacrifice. And so the issue is sacrifice is relative to what God has given you.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about where the name came from and obviously the months ahead and what lies ahead and how all of you can be a part of the great campaign that is called The Church Alive. Dr. Patrick Joyce, my guest. It's the Rob Pratt Show for a Saturday morning. Back in a moment. Dr. Patrick Joyce, one more second, talking about the Church Alive campaign, transparency and accountability, and then we'll talk about where the name came from. Dr. Joyce.
One of the things the bishop said at the very beginning was, this isn't about the Diocese of Pittsburgh as a corporate entity. It's about the churches and building the churches across the diocese. And he wanted to make sure that, first of all, the money that people are going to be giving is not going to the Catholic diocese. It's going to a special corporation he set up, a nonprofit corporation called Our Campaign for the Church Alive Incorporated. It's chaired by Chris Donahue at Federated Investors, people like Morgan O'Brien from People's Natural Gas, people like Maureen Lally Green, judge, former Superior Court judge, Mary Lou McLaughlin, great community leaders and intellects. They are the Campaign for the Church Alive, and they will make sure that every dollar is audited, accounted for, reported on, and spent only for the purposes of this campaign and for no other purposes.
All right, the Church Alive. Where'd the name come from?
In the bishop's dream for the church, that sense of wanting to make sure that every one of us was alive in our faith, and a sense that maybe we haven't done as much as we could in that way. His first pastoral letter was called The Church Alive. He wrote it because he wanted to remind himself and each of us as our teacher that it's about owning the faith, growing in the faith, respecting the gifts of 2,000 years that has been passed down to us, and being the responsible stewards of passing it on to those who follow behind us in our footsteps. So he wrote that message, and then he challenged each of us on his team, the administrative board, to spend a good couple of years in a strategic planning process saying, if the church is to be truly alive, what does that mean? What does it look like? How will we get there? That was the plan that allowed us to envision this campaign that would provide the resources for our parishes first and the diocese second to make a difference and pass on that faith better than we've ever had it.
Bishop Zubik, a quote now, it's not about the size of the gift, but about the size of one's heart. And that gets back to, it's not your generous gift, but your gift. Because
Amen.
Between only you and God, as we talked about off the air and you appropriately said, that's really the bottom line about the amount. That should be between you and your maker. And that gift from your heart is really what we're all about with this Church Alive campaign. And here's what really excites me, and I did tell you this is what I will take away with our 1 hour that we spent together today, and you're so charming and so passionate, and believe me, I can understand why this will be a success, because not just you, but so many people under your guidance, and of course the bishop with that torch and leading the way, because of the passion and the spreading the love. This isn't all about the thriving communities, but it's about those communities that have fallen on tougher times, and
sure,
about spreading the love and this Church Alive gift to keep them going, and hopefully, as we maybe with natural gas and everything that's happening in our region, some of these river communities, such as Ambridge, where the bishop is from, I'm from New Brighton, will have a chance to reignite and to be able to be there with an anchor, their parish, to enjoy that second coming, if you will, of success. But it's also nice to know that in tough times, our church hasn't forgotten those parishioners from those towns that at one time were as mighty as some of the thriving communities that surround them today.
Amen. You know, one of the buckets that this money is pouring into is Catholic Charities, special projects that they can't afford to do with their ordinary operating income. One of the other buckets is called the Bishop's Education Fund, and that was started 21 years ago to help Catholic families who have needs, financial needs, to stay in Catholic schools. Since that time, 21 years, we've given out 35,000 grants to help kids stay in Catholic schools. And that's only meeting about a third of the need that's out there. And so we're adding $12 more million with this campaign to increase the Bishop's Education Fund by 60%. We'll be able to help 60% more kids to stay in Catholic schools. There's so many of these. Let me tell you a story. The first parish in this diocese out of 200 that went over the top of their target was St. Charles Lawanga in Homewood. Father Dave Taylor's parish is alive, on fire. He's got a vision, and people, you know, they want to help Father Dave make St. Charles Lawanga even stronger. I will never forget the fact that he was one of the first 11, and he led his parish to the top first. They went up, I think, 200% of their goal. Something even, maybe even 212%. The point is that there's unlimited capacity out there if you only put a spotlight on the why this is being done and not the what do you want. And that's really happening in every, you know, we were down in Carmichael in St. Hugh's Parish in Greene County. Father John Bauer and his team of volunteers put that beautiful parish over the top of their goal when they never thought it could happen, but they did with his leadership and their volunteer leadership. And it's about where the money's going. $50 million of this is going right back into the parishes to strengthen them for their highest priorities. We've got a parish that says my bell tower is falling down, and they're fixing it now with, you know, that kind of support. We've got parishes that are giving money for a new evangelization program so they can reach out to their neighbors who have fallen away. That's exciting. I mean, because, you know, the largest faith community in Western Pennsylvania is Catholic. The second largest is those who used to be Catholic.
Now. I didn't say that, but I like it. I like it. Hey, like Will Rogers, I never met a man I didn't like. Well, I never met a church I didn't like in all denominations. And I noticed the smallest to the biggest, from the most beautiful to, well, the one that maybe just have one or two lights left burning long after, you know, they've been out of business for many years. And that's just for maintenance reasons. In other words, their day in the sun has come and gone. I noticed all of these churches of all denominations and synagogues in every town that I travel to. And I will say this. For those who think that it's all about shutting down those churches that many of us would like to see stay open, look, they still have to be able to keep the lights on. And that's one of the reasons why this Church Alive campaign is out there. It's burning brightly. And I know that number of $125 million seems staggering. But when you look at the big picture and what we're talking about here, it will be a pebble in the ocean when you think about the love that will be really spawn from it and the generations that will enjoy it for many years to come.
That's a beautiful statement.
Well, I just,
you've done this before, I see.
A few times. and I'll tell you this too. I hope that we have a chance to bring you back from time to time to get an update on what's happening. But the question is, how can people who are listening step up and say, you know what, I want to help out with my gift?
Beautiful. Well, first of all, the website is churchalivepgh.org. churchalivepgh.org. That's the website. You get a little more information. But the second thing is, go up to your pastor and say, Father, I know this might surprise you, but I really want to help. And how can I help? The more volunteers we get, the better. In fact, what the bishop has said from the very beginning is, if you stack up $125 million on the table, I'm not happy. That's fine. I'm not interested in that. I want the money to do something. So what I'm interested in is the second part of this, and that is getting more people involved in the future of their church, their parish. And the more volunteers we get out there like John and Maggie Schmutzer, the better. They're going to carry this church into the next generation and pass it on just like we inherited it.
We also have so many wonderful people in this church now, priests that are leading the next generation. Quickly, just how we have grown as far ours are seminarians and at the seminar. Because of the leadership, he's much too humble to say this, but Bishop Zubik, since moving there and giving up that mansion, has really made a difference, hasn't he?
He's made an enormous difference because... what did Pope Francis say recently? I want the shepherd to smell like the sheep. You know, I mean, basically, our bishop has said that the future of this diocese is A, at the parish level, and B, good shepherds, like good priests who can lead those parishes. And so he's made that his highest priority. And he's got Father Joe Freedy as a vocations director, and the two of them together as a team. The seminarians are saying, you know, I want to look and see what God has invited me to be.
Let me just end on this note. My son, who's a freshman, and after a day at Quigley, he's ready for some Gatorade and a long drive home, okay?
Yeah.
But Father Freedy was there not too long ago. My son was a chatterbox. He could not stop talking about Father Freedy. That's the difference that these men are making in our diocese today. Best of luck with the Church Alive campaign, and know that our door is always open here to help you.
I thank you for this opportunity. I pray for the bishop, and I pray for this beautiful dream that he has. I know it is working. I know it will work. It'll be a huge success. And in the history of this diocese, people will look back and say, well, thank God they did that.
Amen.